Now, if you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. It'll be on page 914. We're going to read just one verse from the book of Galatians this morning. If you were here last week, Greg Dyson was here and talked about the gospel, the good news, right? That Jesus has come, Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus will come again. He talked about the gospel. And like, if you didn't get to hear it, I just encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's on our YouTube channel. He really laid it out for us in a really simple and great way. And this past week, we started having some small groups around our study in Galatians, and we're using this small group study by Tim Keller. we have a small group that meets on Thursday night and one that's meeting on Saturday morning. And if you are interested in joining that, if you haven't been able to and you're interested, come and talk to Ryan. Ryan over here, wave your hand. Ryan's going to be here, is going to be right where I am next week preaching. So we look forward to that. You can be praying for him throughout the week. But please go and talk to him about, or his wife Corey, about their small group. Greg and Gina are, of course, not here. Greg is preaching somewhere else this morning. But I encourage you. I got to go to both of them this week, and it was awesome. It was like, it's been a little while since we've done that. And it was so refreshing to just be with God's people around the Word. And I know that not everybody is able to, but if you are able to, I want to encourage you to do that. But we've been talking, Galatians is all about the good news, right? And because we say here, because Jesus died, we don't just say this, all of the church throughout all of the ages say, because Jesus died and was raised from the dead, he alone is perfectly equipped to save to the uttermost all who come to him by faith. All who come to him by faith. But here's the thing. What does that by faith mean? Faith. Today I want to step back and I want to look at Galatians more as a whole, and maybe as at the Bible as a whole, to talk to you about what faith is. Faith is a churchy, Bible-y word that we use a lot. And we use it often in such kind of fuzzy ways, pious-sounding ways, that allows us to talk a good game, but then direct ourselves in the complete wrong direction. So we think of faith in terms of like having just a positive outlook in life. I believe good things are going to happen. I'm a person of faith. That's not what we mean. We also think that faith means that we have a collection of things we know about God. We think that we have faith in God because we know facts about God. That also is not what faith is. We think there is some version of having faith in Jesus that doesn't define our whole lives. Like we can put him in a corner. We think there's some version of having faith that looks like that looks like I can walk with Jesus, but I can go through my life and have no real sincere affection or love for him. It's just a thing that I do. But all of those things are ways that we look at faith as a way, as something that we manufacture in ourselves, as things that we do. It leads us to focus on ourselves. What we do right and what we do wrong, how strong or how weak we are. And because we're fuzzy about this word faith, we end up acting like the gospel is good advice and not good news. Like God said, hey, here's how you get yourself together, do this. Not, here is rescue for you. Here is salvation for you. We don't want to settle for that, do we? I don't want to settle for that. I don't want you to settle for that. And so this morning, as I'm going to read Galatians 2, verse 20. and we are going to look at Galatians as a whole and then a couple other places in the Bible as well this morning as we talk about what faith is. And we really kind of ratchet down to what it is. So Galatians 2, verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to see you this morning. And now my even as I'm up here and I'm in front of your people, I'm a little bit scattered. I know that I've forgotten a few things already. Lord, I pray that you would awaken faith in my heart and in the hearts of everyone here. Or that you would define it for us, that you would clarify it for us, that we would walk out of here holding on to nothing but Jesus, each and every one, whether this is their first time in church or their millionth, whether they came in believing already or not. And Lord, as we consider this, I ask that your grace would be upon little Caleb who's in the ICU, Lord, who needs your help. And Lord, we ask that you would heal his little body. And Lord, we pray for Maryland's leadership team at the WPDC, and we ask that you would give them reconciliation, real forgiveness in the truth and reconciliation and relationships to build on in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us, direct our hearts, give us open ears, open eyes, hearts to understand, Lord, that you would shape us to be more like Jesus today. In whose name we pray. Amen. So Paul, if you got Galatians still open. In Galatians, Paul talks about faith in two different ways in the book of Galatians. First one is you can find in Galatians 1, verse 23. Okay? Paul says, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith. So the faith is the first use that of this word that he makes. It's the objective stuff that God has done. It's everything that it means for us. It's the stuff we believe. It's the content. It's the gospel. It's good news. It's and everything else that comes with it. And because we need the reminder, because I talked about this a few minutes ago, and I already said this, I want this to stick in your mind. The gospel is good news. It is not good advice. It is news about Jesus, about what God has done in Jesus. So the faith, the one that we all hold to, that's the first one. Number two. He uses faith to talk about the act of believing. And this is what we're usually thinking about when we hear the word faith. Specifically, what we mean though is the faith in Christ who was crucified and raised from the dead. I'm using language that Paul uses throughout the book of Galatians here, okay? That Jesus redeemed us from the law's curse. If you've ever read the books of Deuteronomy or Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Okay, if you've ever gotten that far in your Bible reading in the year, some of you have tried and abandoned right around Leviticus. I encourage you to keep going. Leviticus is awesome. You should keep going. But you get to Deuteronomy, you get to the end of Deuteronomy, to Deuteronomy 28, and there's these blessings and curses. Blessings for keeping the law, curses for disobeying the law. Paul tells us in Galatians that Christ became a curse for us when he was crucified. He gave himself for us, as we read from Galatians 2:20. Faith, as an act of believing, is the only way that all that Jesus is, all that he has done, and everything that belongs to him comes to us. It can only come to us by faith. That's it. It's the only way we receive God's what Paul calls justification. It's his declaration of us being righteous before him. The only way we are called sons and daughters of God is by faith. The only way we are set free is by faith. By believing in Jesus, we come to receive and become heirs of God's blessing to Abraham. If you go back to Genesis 12, God promises Abraham that he's going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the nations of the world through you, Abraham, are going to be blessed. That Paul is going to tell us a little later on in Galatians about how by faith we have become heirs of Abraham, of this promise. By faith, it is Jesus that we receive. Jesus is the prize. Man, if I could have you walk out with one thing this morning, I mean, I want you to walk out with more than one, but if I could have you walk out with one, it's that Jesus is the prize. Jesus is the prize. It's not even heaven. We get heaven because we get Jesus. He is the prize, and he gives all of himself. So our story changes. Our identity changes. Our hope and our future change because we get Jesus. So, faith is, I hope that you can see, faith is absolutely necessary. But what is it? First of all, faith is believing what God says. Okay? We're talking about our relationship with God here. So it's something that God alone gets to define, because he's God. But if God says, because Jesus died and was raised, you are reconciled to me, then the only thing left for you to do is to receive it, to believe it. There is nothing. Faith says that there is nothing that I need for full, complete reconciliation with God that Jesus has not accomplished. That's what faith says. And by the way, he accomplished it without you and without me. There's nothing left undone by Jesus. We have a bunch of computer engineers in this group, and people like that. So here's a math equation for you. Jesus plus anything, this is the message of Galatians. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. You get nothing when you add anything to Jesus, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That is the end of the math lesson. So, as we talk about biblical faith, I want to talk about four things. And if you're someone who likes to write notes, I want you to write all four of these down, okay? Dave, this is for you. Four things, okay? What is biblical faith? Biblical faith, number one, biblical faith is what we call mental assent. It is the knowledge. It is believing in your head what God says about Jesus, about what Jesus has done, and what God says has happened. It can't be less than that. Okay? I already told you that it's not only that, and it's not exactly that, but it can't be less than that. The fact is, you can't believe something you don't think is true. If you think in your head, but this is the way it's such a problem that we talk about faith in such fuzzy ways, isn't it? Because when we do that, what we get to do It's like when we say, hey, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. But then we somehow, some way, never get around to our own particular sins, do we? What good is that? If faith just lets us kind of, if our faith just lets us off the hook from thinking about whether that we think this is true or not, then it's not faith. So faith is mental assent. It is, do we think that it's true? And do we believe what God says about it? That's number one. Number two, I'm going to use the word embrace. Faith means embrace. I receive Jesus. In the words of the Westminster Confession, that's a discipleship tool that we use here. It's an old one, but we like it. Old things are often better than new things. In the word that it uses is receive. I receive Jesus as the one who defines me in every way. I embrace him everything that I need. Everything that I need, even the faith that I need, the affections for him that I need, all of those things are gifts given through Jesus. I embrace Jesus as the one that defines me. So, number one, mental assent, what's happened up here in your head. Number two, embrace. My whole life is defined by this. Number three, biblical faith. Rest. Rest. That is, I do not have any need. I recognize that I have no need to add to or take away from anything that Jesus has done. Because of him, I am whole. As in the words that we're going to hear in the book of in Galatians later, I'm free, I'm adopted, I'm an heir, I'm justified. All of it is done. So what happens up here? What you believe up here in your head? What you embrace that defines you? And what you rest in? That, and then a fourth thing. This is one that we don't always talk about. Allegiance. Faith, biblical faith, tells is that my loyalty that defines every other loyalty in the world for me is Jesus. Jesus alone. This is where with Martin Luther 500 years ago, we say, here I stand, I can do no other. No other political, cultural, national loyalty, nothing. Nothing defines us but Jesus. Okay? So, mental assent, embrace, rest, and allegiance. All of those are parts of what it means to have faith in Jesus. It means, so let me just make this simple, as simple as I can. We go around, we try to make things work for ourselves. We try to make things right with God. We do things like we come to church, which, by the way, come to church. Like, thank you for coming. Come to church. You're supposed to. But we go around going to church thinking, like, this is the religious thing that I do. This makes me feel like I'm in relationship with God, and therefore I'm in relationship with God. But that's not the truth. Faith means all of those things that I do to try to define my life before God, I drop them. And I come to Jesus with empty hands. That's what faith is. And faith has a direction. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Jesus' word. Faith opens us the way to know God and have every affection, desire, every love defined by Him. That's what faith does. It's like breathing. It's not something you do. It's just it's the air filling your lungs. It's just receiving it. To just kind of highlight some of this, I'd like turn to Matthew. If you still have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8. If you're using one of those hardback Bibles in the seats, it's on page 762. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read through just a couple of things that Jesus does. And I want you to pay attention to the people that Jesus encounters and to Jesus himself, okay? So, Matthew chapter 8. I'll give you just a second to get there. Page 762. Or 1131, Joyce. Joyce has the same Bible as I do. Starting in verse 1. When he, Jesus, came down from the mountain, that is where he preached the Sermon on the Mount, if you don't know the book of Matthew. So when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I want to. Be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for proof to them. Now, pause there. What do we see in the leper? What kind of faith does he have? He comes to Jesus not knowing if even what Jesus is going to want to do with him. He can be pretty sure. I am convinced that he was sure that Jesus didn't want to touch him. And what's the first thing that Jesus does? Touches him. Faith comes to Jesus even when you're not completely sure. When you're not certain, faith still goes to Jesus, entrusting the matter into his hands, just like the leper did. What do we see in Jesus? We see him touch this unclean leper, grossing everybody out, and saying, oh, buddy, I want to. You have no idea how much I want to. Look at verse 5. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman centurion, that's like an officer in the Roman army, okay? A centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, and with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and he said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, go. Let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. What do we see in the centurion who came? Faith comes to Jesus believing that he is able, knowing that he is able, and knowing that he, and believing that he knows the exact right way to do stuff and the right time to do it. That's how faith comes to Jesus. How often, let me ask you this, how often do you pray for something? Do you find yourself thinking about, okay, I'm going to pray for this person? But you end up praying for something that you think, for God to do something you think is more doable. Like it'd be easier for God to do this thing and not that. So I'm not going to pray for this, but I'll pray for this thing that looks a little easier. The centurion said to Jesus, "Don't even come into my house." Not because he didn't believe, not because he didn't trust Jesus, not because he didn't think he was able, but because he thought he was so able. You don't have to make a big showing in this crowd, Jesus. You don't have to do anything. Just say the word, and I know it'll be done. And what do we see in Jesus there? Jesus marveled. Marveled at his faith, overjoyed to come to his aid. Do you see Jesus there? When it comes to faith, we often think about, like, my faith is so small, my faith is so weak, I don't have strong faith. Or maybe you're someone who just says, hey, I'm someone who has really strong faith. Like, in both cases, maybe. But listen, when it comes to the strength of your faith, it's not your zeal, it's not your passion, it's not anything that you do, it's not your positive attitude, it's not any of that that makes it strong. Faith is strong in the same way that prayer is powerful. It's Jesus, who we trust, that is strong. It is the one who we pray to that is powerful. In themselves, faith and prayer are kind of weak. But that's just the point. The one that we go to, the one that we run to, isn't. Faith's strength is the degree we come to Jesus. Faith's strength is the degree we come to Jesus for help. Faith becomes stronger by going to Jesus more. We come to Jesus with nothing but empty hands, just nothing but our need. And we find in him one who's delighted to come to our aid and perfectly able to do it every time. Why do we think it should be some other way? We act as if we had strong enough faith, we would stand on our own, we wouldn't need Jesus so much. So we think, and I know, that we think that we are not measuring up as mothers and fathers, as friends, as brothers and sisters. We feel like we shouldn't have doubts that we bury. We feel like we can't make much sense of the fact that faith doesn't feel like a strong victory often. It feels like we need Jesus because we're failures. But the truth is that our driving, desperate need for Jesus is victory. It's victory. Your driving, desperate need for Jesus is what is faith. It is what's bringing you to him, to the only one you need. Because Jesus gives himself. So when we say faith, we're talking about believing that Jesus eagerly desires to help us, because that's what he says. And that's how he tells us to interpret everything that he's done. And by faith, we rest, because he's not disappointed in our weakness. By faith, we rest because he's not ashamed of sinners. By faith, we rest because he is not distant from us, though he is at the Father's right hand. So, Christians, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I tell you to run to Jesus. Run to Jesus in every moment. Now, I've said that a lot, and sometimes someone will ask the good question, what in the world does that mean? So how about when you feel when things aren't going your way, or when someone is slandering you, when you find that someone has said things about you that were not true, or things that were true but they had no right to share? What if your response was, I, because of Jesus, I am a son. I am a daughter of God. I am a son. I am a daughter of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Remind yourself that you are beloved in Jesus. Beloved, beyond your wildest dreams. What if, because Jesus' righteousness is given to us, that person who's disrespected you, that person who said a falsehood about you, that person who hurt you, does not define you. Because Jesus' righteousness is mine, I don't need that person's respect, I don't need their admiration, and I don't need their affirmation. Run to Jesus and pray. Oh my goodness, pray. Pray. All prayer is the action of faith. Prayer is your helplessness and in your weakness crying out to God. And faith directs that cry to Jesus. Run to Jesus with it all. Run to Jesus with the desires that you don't have. Run to Jesus with your lack of desire to pray. Run to Jesus with all of that. But let's be real clear that running to Jesus, what running to Jesus feels like. Because a lot of us feel like we're running. So picture yourself running. Running across a dry, hot, desert place. You're running, trying to get to one who loves you. That's what you're trying to get to, okay? So you're earnestly trying to do this. But somehow, you're getting lost more and more. And you're just getting farther and farther away. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you're just farther away. And at a certain point, you can't go on. Your energy's sapped up. You're hungry. You're thirsty. You're about to pass out from exhaustion. At last, you take your last step. You stop. No longer trying to get somewhere yourself. And as you begin to fall down, in your last bit of consciousness, you realize that the one you love, that you were running toward, that you were trying your best to run towards, is the one who just caught you. Faith is at the end of yourself, of all of your trying, falling into the arms of Jesus. King Jesus, go running to Jesus and collapse into his arms. That song we sang a little while ago, Abide With Me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness is closing in. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. Is this Jesus that we've been talking about the one you want? Are you ready? Are you ready to collapse into his arms? If you've been walking with Jesus and you're just, again, you feel like you're at that point, know that, hear him say, I want to. But if, like, you came in here not knowing Jesus, not following him, not believing him, And what you've heard here is a little bit different than the faith that you were, what you were thinking that faith was. And it is this Jesus that you want. You're tired of running. You're tired of working it, of working all the angles. You're tired of trying to make yourself something you can't do. Collapse into the arms of Jesus this morning. Tell him, I'm ready. Lord, I believe, I embrace, I rest in you. You have my life. There is nothing he's left undone. You don't have to add anything to it. But maybe today's the day. Let's pray. Your grace is unbounded, Lord. And Lord, we try to make, we get really, really fuzzy around things like faith and try to make it into something that is a work. When all it is grabbing onto Jesus. Actually, maybe even times where we can't grab on, we just find ourselves in your arms. Because we are helpless, Lord, and we don't bring anything to the table, but you have done it all. And Lord, if there are any who, by your Holy Spirit, you are stirring this morning to just fall into your arms, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon them. A new heart. And remind all my brothers and sisters that if any are in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All praise and all glory be to God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.